and we've enjoyed the fellowship and the meeting, and the fellowship at home as well. Do remember to pray for us. It encourages when we meet folk like this morning there and saying that we pray for you every day, and that encourages the folk who are out there. That is happening, and the Lord is answering prayer. Turn to the book of the Acts, please, there. Acts chapter 27, there. Acts chapter 27. And I think you would know that Luke wrote the book of the Acts. And if you want to look at who he wrote to, you'll need to read the first chapter. He wrote to a man called Theophilus. This man seems to be a Roman official addressed as Most Excellent Theophilus in the book of Luke. That's where you'll get his name, first of all, in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And then Luke, writing again to Theophilus, just calls him Theophilus. And Luke is the writer. And then I think you would know that Luke... been giving his ear how the Lord Jesus saved him in the chapter. And then to end it all, after Paul had spoken, King Agrippa says in verse 32, "Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been..." Sword to him. So he's one of the prisoners here in these chapters, and they're going to set seal. So I want you to look at a phrase here, and we will look at verses in the chapter, but I want you to look at verse 20 now of chapter 27. Thank you. into our life, all hope taken away. The problem here, if you go into the chapter, and if you want, again, I always try and encourage young people with a Bible study for yourself. You can study the wind in the Bible. Wind. Find out in the Bible wind and what was happening when the wind was blowing. And then you could apply the wind like the Holy Spirit blowing as well. Uh-huh. Wind. And in this chapter, you have a study here. If you look at verse 4, the ship has set sail here. And you'll notice in verse 4, when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. Suggesting that the winds here are blowing against this ship here. Contrary winds blowing here. Well, sometimes that happens with the believer. You have a plan, you have an idea, your heart's fixed on something, you're going forward, and we go forward into the wind blowing contrary against you in our journey toward heaven. Look at verse 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Sindios, the wind not suffering us. There's the wind again blowing, as it were, hindering, stopping this ship. And the older brethren and sisters, the example, you remember the Lord Jesus. And he compels the disciples to get into the boat. The word suggests forcing them into the boat. That's what the word suggests, to compel, to force. And he says, well, I'll see, get you into that boat and I'll see you on the other side. And the boat set sail. And it sailed into a storm. Did Jesus know about the storm? Of course he does. And yet the Lord Jesus is compelling his disciples, get into that boat and you sail across the sea. So I think, believer, brother, sister, tonight, you know that in living, in Christian living, just in normal living, there's going to be storms in the life. In your life, in my life. And when it happens, we need to know what to do. That's when your back is against the wall. However, here's another wind here. Look at verse 13. This is the south wind now. And it says here, when the south wind blew softly. Oh, this isn't an opposing wind here in the chapter. No. Here's a south wind, a warm wind, blowing softly. Now notice what it says here. Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. What does it mean? Well, it's just a boat setting sail. The soft wind from the south is blowing, and there's no suggesting of storm. There's no, it seems to be, the sun's shining, and there's not going to be any problem here. Let's put this boat out. But there is a problem. there's a man on the boat filled with the Holy Ghost. You call him Paul. And this man Paul, the Apostle Paul, perceives there's going to be trouble. So if you look here at verse 10, Paul is admonishing them, and you must remember that Paul is a prisoner on this ship. He is more than likely chained, standing in chains. And if you study the chapter, read it for yourself, you'll find that there's a centurion there, and his soldiers are there. And when you look at the chapter, the soldiers at one point will kill all the prisoners. That's what they will do. So when you look at the chapter, so you see these men, these soldiers, wicked criminals, and Paul is beside them. And the whole boat packed with sinners, wicked men too. But there's one man here stands up, and this is what he says in verse 10. Said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. That's the warning. So I want you to imagine, well, you're either a prisoner or a soldier, or you might be the master, for he's on the boat here. Look at it. And so it says here, after Paul has made his declaration, verse 11, nevertheless the centurion believed the master of this boat and the owner of the ship. And so, isn't it typical? You can see a picture here. The master of the ship, the owner of the boat, this boat. And we all like to feel in our own selves, and particularly the unsaved like to feel this way, that I am the master of my life. I will guide my own life the way I want it to go. I'll steer the ship. The ship, of course, being my life. And so the unsaved in the meeting tonight, well, maybe you're like this. You have heard time and time again that if you go down the line of rejecting Christ as your personal Savior, then one day you will end up in hell. This is the idea that's not like today. This is what they will try and crush, this idea of a personal God and standing before Him, and God condemning sinners to hell. They will stop this sort of preaching. They will. They will forbid it. But it's in the Bible. It's true. And young man, young woman, we like to have the idea that I will guide the boat. I will steer it myself. This is what's happening here. The preacher man perceives the way you're going, you'll lose all. You're going to lose it. But the master and the owner, they have a talk, and they look at the sun and they feel the wind blowing in their face, that south wind, and they do not see trouble in front of them, but Paul does. He's the man with the perception, I perceive this will happen. So they say, well, there's the south wind blowing softly. It cannot be. But if you look at the next verse, there's a storm, there's another wind blowing here now. It's a tempestuous wind. The preacher has given them the warning, do not sail this way. If you do sail this way, trouble. But they won't listen. Well, we were all like that one time, were we not, Christian? There were times when we were setting our sails a certain way and we did not want anyone to rebuke us or steer it another way. No. We were resisting the Holy Ghost. But however, this tempestuous wind called Euro-Rachlidon, it caused trouble for this ship. Do you see the people on the boat here? Do you see verse 15? And when the ship was caught, meaning now that it's caught up in the middle of this storm, what are they going to do? And could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. You would imagine that now they are surrendering themselves to this storm. And it gets worse. Out goes the cargo. And you look at the words. The words here are all suggestive to your mind. Suggestive. If you look at verse 17, when they had taken up, they used helps. They'll do their best to save themselves some way, but they'll not look to the Lord. They will do their best to help. They're using helps here to save this boat. And then, fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, they strake sail and so were driven. So that's the picture here of the day that Paul finds himself in on this boat here. Now, believer, I want to try and encourage you here. The Apostle Luke, he writes here that all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And when a man gets into that position, that's bad. And I think you know of people maybe living around here who got into the same position, all hope taken away. Dear unsaved person tonight, there is only one person to save your soul. It's the man, Christ Jesus. All hope will be taken away from another method of salvation. There is no other method. The church will not save the soul. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But in the midst of it all, the Apostle Paul is going to stand before the Caesar. And the Lord has told Paul that you will stand before the Caesar. So in a sense, no matter what happens to this ship here, and it does finish up shipwrecked, so it does, Paul will not die. Okay? He's not going to die. because the Lord has told him, you will stand before the Caesar. But he's now in a storm, and they haven't seen the sun and the stars for days, and they've cast out all this, the luggage, and everything has gone overboard. And they've done their best to save the ship. And the sailors and everyone now have resigned to themselves. They're going to die. Now, I want to encourage brethren and sisters tonight. Look, there's not one of us tonight, your close friend in the meeting, members here tonight, know what you are going through tonight. None of us know. Looking at each other, we don't know. And in the following week, this incoming week, none of us know the trial, the tribulation, the darkness, the waves that will come in on your boat, my boat, being our lives. Those storms that can come up against us, we don't know. And the devil, then he steps in to rob you of assurance of salvation. Can that happen? Of course it can happen. My uncle preached for over 60 years. He was a brethren preacher and seen lots of souls saved, Ballygowan, Hillsborough, and Drumara, down that way, preaching. But then he took ill, elderly now, and he took ill, and he was ill for years, and the devil hammered him and robbed him off the assurance of salvation. You would expect the devil to do that. The servant of the Lord and the worker for the Lord, the devil will not bypass you. He will stop at your door and he will attack you when you're most vulnerable, most weak. He will attack. You know that. And so he robbed them for years of this eternal security that he had, and he preached. The devil can do that. I used to say, it's all right for you. You know you're saved. But me, that's the way he talked. Until one day, the whole cloud lifted from him, amen, and that peace came back again. What's my point tonight? My point is, brother, sister, Jesus said, I will give unto you eternal life, and you will not perish. Amen. Say amen, Corian. Yeah, that's it. That's what Jesus says. And we have eternal life. We've got it. But the winds might blow contrary into your face. Yes. And maybe rob you of that doctrine, biblical doctrine of eternal security. Have you got eternal security tonight? Are you saved? Well, let's look at this. Here's the all hope that we should be taken, saved, was then taken away. And Paul's helping here. Maybe they have released the prisoners to help clear this boat and to help to secure it. But all hope is now taken away. We're not going to be saved. But God has given a promise to a man. Amen. And his name's Paul. So what does he do? And the secret for us all is to do what Paul did in the day of trouble. If you look at verse 21 there, after what? long abstinence. What's this man doing now? Paul, what are you doing? And Paul, he says, I'm going to go down here into this boat and I'm going to pray. That's what he did. Amen. After a long abstinence. I know today there's a great attack on the Bible. The enemy. The enemy. That man that you talked about today, brother. He's an enemy of the Bible. Yeah. And he would like to destroy the word of the Lord. And the Bible, the Word of God, brings peace to your mind, does it not? Does the Word of God not bring blessing to your mind? And these psychiatrists and all types of men who hate the Word of God, and they have their own ideas to help people. And yet, the Word of God, we know, is the answer. After long abstinence. We see a man here on his knees now. We have tried to picture this shipwreck, this boat, this darkness here. And here's a man, and he says, I'll pray. And he takes his time about this. And then he stands forth in the midst of them, and he says, sirs, well, you should have hearkened unto me. Why? Because it was Paul was the man who gave out the warning in the first place. Don't set sail. If you set sail, you're heading for trouble. And so, young person, tonight, if you've set sail on the sea of life and you're without Christ, on a wild and stormy sea, without a rudder, without the rudder, going this way and that way, and you will open yourself to the attacks of the devil. But here's a man, and he says, you should have hearkened unto me. That was his first words, his opening remarks. Now, to all these people, you should have hearkened to me. And I'm quite sure they're saying, we should have listened to you. Well, look what Paul says here. Now I exhort you to be of what? Good cheer. Brother, sister, I know in the day of darkness, the most difficult thing is to be of good cheer. That's difficult. Here was a man, and he's looking at a whole gang of sinners now, and he's been praying to God, and he's got through to God, and God has given him a promise. Amen. That's the secret in it all. And now the Apostle Paul raises up from prayer, and he has the message to the people, and he says, I'm telling you to be of good cheer. That's the message, be of good cheer. And so, brother, sister, tonight, be of good cheer. And while the devil seems to be gaining momentum and more darkness, as it were, coming upon the face of the land, and he seems to be having the field day, as we say, and there's a greater attack on the Word of God, be of good cheer. Amen. For God's purpose will be wrought out. No matter what happens, the Lord is upon the throne. Be of good cheer. Well then, he says here, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, verse 23, whom I serve, saying, this angel of God had a message we would believe it was the Lord Himself standing. Here's Paul now in his hour of darkness and trial, and all around him there's nothing but no hope. All that around Paul now. Do you hear the men talking? Do you not hear? In fact, in the chapter, the lifeboat was put down. Do you see them dropping the lifeboat down? You're not going to get on it. The master would be on it. The centurion soldier, he'll jump in too. Do you think Paul will get on this boat? I think Paul will be put to the last. In fact, the soldiers are going to kill all the prisoners. That's what's in their mind. And God had a friend in that boat for Paul. It was the soldier. It was the centurion soldier. And the centurion soldier stopped them. Isn't it marvelous? Isn't it marvelous to know that God can even work on a centurion soldier to do His will? Amen. And if you want to study about centurion soldiers, you'll find that there was a soldier who built a synagogue for the Jews. You'll find him in the book of the Acts too. Find out all about centurion soldiers. Yeah. And some of them were butchers, of course, the majority were. But however, here's this soldier, this centurion, he stops him. He says, "Look, do you see the boat? Cut the ropes." The message is, except ye abide in the boat, you cannot be saved. And so, thank God, there's a gospel boat there. There's still Noah's Ark. Amen. There's still the old gospel, fashioned gospel there, and it's salvation in Christ alone. And if you don't come this way, we will not be saved. Except ye abide in the ship, you cannot be saved, verse 31. And so the soldiers then look at it, verse 32, cut off the ropes off the boat and let her fall off. I always try to imagine myself in the circumstances. Put yourself in these circumstances. You, brother, sister, you are on the boat and all hope has been taken away. And there's only one hope, physically speaking. It's this lifeboat. And the soldiers cut the ropes, and it drops into the sea, and you see it just disappearing away. But the word of the Lord was, except ye abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. We're living in a day, we're living in this present age now when the idea is to jump out of the ship. This gospel is old-fashioned. We're now moving into the 21st century. That's old-fashioned stuff. But the Bible says, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And thank God for the gospel of our Lord Jesus. What does Jesus do? He brings hope to our hearts. Does not Paul writing in Ephesians there, and he says to the people at Ephesus there in the letter, and he talks about that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Without God in the world. And dear unsaved person tonight in the meeting, that is your description. Without Christ, an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger to the promises of God, having no hope without God in this world. Is that you? Tonight we were singing the hymn there. Tell me tonight, will you dare to die without Jesus? Will you dare to live without Jesus? No hope. Without Christ, without God in the world. What are we to do? Well, we'll have to call upon Jesus. Do we make ourselves better first, then go to Jesus?